Good morning. It is 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, August 24th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene and this is Raven News. A political newcomer and a seasoned veteran are facing off in a race for the new House District 34. The winner will represent Sitka, Haines, Craig, Klawak, Angoon, Hoona, Cake, and Metlakatla. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at the candidates for the largest district in Southeast.
Bill Thomas laughs when asked why he's running for his fifth term in the House.
Well, because I'm in a leadership position and in a position to help Southeast Alaska, and not only just my district, but all of Southeast.
The Haines Republican co-chairs the Budget Writing House Finance Committee. His challenger, Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins, is in his first run for office. He says he's the candidate of the future.
I think Alaska's at a crossroads right now, and there are a lot of issues in the short, medium, and long term that deserve a long-term perspective.
Christ Tompkins and Thomas face no opposition in this month's party primaries. The real campaign will come later for the November general election. Still, they're traveling the widespread district and letting voters know they're on the ballot.
Well, it's old school, but I'm knocking on every door in Southeast Alaska, every door in Hangoon and Heidelberg and Kasan and Sitka and everywhere else.
I've been to Sitka a couple of times, but I'm really, I've been sidetracked with, I call it, many funerals, and hopefully things will settle down and be able to concentrate.
The candidates present clear choices to district voters. Thomas is a 65-year-old commercial fisherman and former lobbyist. He's a lifelong Alaskan who's been chairman and CEO of Klukwan's Native Village Corporation. He's also served on the area's tribal government council and borough assembly.
I think that I call it life experience is going to help with my political knowledge and experience in the legislature, seniority, and the dealt with a lot of the, we call, personalities.
The Vietnam veteran also attended the University of Alaska. Christ Tompkins is about four decades younger and has studied at Yale. While the lifelong Sitkan has not run for public office before, he was involved in Governor Tony Knoll's Senate campaign and Barack Obama's presidential campaign. He knows he's challenging an experienced lawmaker, but he's hoping for a hometown advantage since Sitka holds half the new district's population.
Bill isn't the incumbent in Sitka. And in Sitka, this is basically an open election. And very few people know Bill. He hasn't represented this area before.
Thomas and Christ Tompkins share support for funding infrastructure, such as roads, harbors, and energy projects. And both understand redistricting costs Southeast two of its eight legislative seats, weakening its presence at the Capitol. But they differ on many issues, including oil taxes.
Bill voted to cut taxes by $2 billion a year with little to no guarantees for increased production, which I think is against the state interest.
Thomas says last year's approach is dead, but he wants new negotiations for legislation helping increase the state's declining petroleum production.
I don't think you just go out there and just throw a bill out there. It's obvious it didn't work two times in a row, so I think you redesign it and try again.
Governor Sean Parnell recently called for spending restraint in the state's operating budget. Thomas oversees the House version of that budget. He says he and his GOP colleagues are already trying to hold down spending.
I think we need to look at it because the price of oil, production of oil, it could be inflated for the price, and then right now production is way down. I think it's time to look at what it is that we can afford.
Christ Tompkins says he's concerned funding for infrastructure could be reduced. He also wants the legislature to make sure education appropriations keep up with inflation, and he advocates funding schools in advance so districts are better able to plan.
If you talk with any teacher, administrator, parent, it's a source of headaches and a total hit on morale in the schools because, teachers, depending on what the enrollment count is, don't know if they will have a job the next year.
House District 34, the seat the candidates are running for, is made up of parts of Wrangell Republican Peggy Wilson's old District 2 and parts of Thomas's District 5. Wilson's legislative boundaries now include Ketchikan. Some cities from Thomas's old district were paired with Juneau or Prince William Sound. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Sitka.
Senate District Q is the new district representing Sitka, Ketchikan, Prince of Wales Island, Angoon, Haines, and more. The new legislative boundaries have put two incumbents up against each other in the fall, but both appear on Tuesday's primary ballot unopposed for their party's nomination. KCAW's Ed Ronco talked to both Sitka Republican Bert Stedman and Angoon Democrat Albert Kukesh and filed this report.
Bert Stedman and Albert Kukesh were both born and raised in Alaska. Both are members of the Senate's bipartisan majority, and they seem to agree on a lot of issues.
The biggest challenge here is energy costs, again, going forward here in Sitka.
That's Senator Stedman, who says the communities in the district face a similar challenge, but they face it in different magnitudes.
For instance, if you are fortunate enough to be on some hydro in Prince of Wales or Metlakatla, you still have some challenges. You need, you know, extra production. But if you happen to be running diesel generators like CAKE, you're in a world of economic challenges because your cost of energy is too high.
Whoever gets in the legislature, either Senator Stedman and I, have to be an advocate for as much money as we can for Southeast Alaska for hydro.
That is Senator Kukesh.
We need to get everybody on hydro. Then we run into this little problem of, in CAKE, you don't have a hydro stream anywhere nearby. In Huna, you don't have a hydro stream anywhere nearby that to generate the kind of energy you need for hydro products. So we have to do something different in CAKE. We have to do something different in Huna to get everybody on hydro. But that has to be the goal.
Kukesh says the state needs to put more money into energy for Southeast Alaska in the long term, especially as it works to fund a multi-billion-dollar hydro project on South Central's Susitna River. Stedman says the state's 50-50 funding of both the Susitna-Watana project and Blue Lake in Sitka is too small a piece of the pie, and maybe it should chip in more. The other staple of legislative conversations in this part of the state is transportation, namely the Alaska Marine Highway System and its aging ferry fleet. Stedman says he wants to go after more money for a new class of boats.
I feel kind of like a lone soldier dealing with that issue, funding the ferries. I wish I had more support throughout the Southeast delegation on funding for the construction of the new ferries.
Where are you missing it?
Well, I don't know. I'd ask them.
I talked to Peggy Wilson, and she's on board. She's always talking about ferries. And what kind of support are you looking for exactly?
I'm talking about the support to actually put the money on the table, not the support over the airways that make people feel good, make a nice soundbite.
The state has authorized spending more than $150 million for construction of one new Alaska-class vessel, but Stedman would like to see $50 million a year until enough is set aside for two or three. Kukesh agrees.
We want to make sure that if we are thinking far enough ahead, we put money aside to build another ferry besides the one we have in the works now. You know, that's our lifeblood. Everybody in Southeast Alaska has as its concern the ferry system.
On Tuesday's primary ballot, Kukesh and Stedman aren't technically running against each other, but they will be in November's general election. Both candidates hesitated to compare their differences.
When that time comes, we'll sit down and we'll talk about some of the issues, and I'll talk about what I've done, and I'll let the people decide how we're similar and how we're different.
But they did talk about why they feel they're a good choice. Kukesh cites his 8 years in the House and his 8 years in the Senate.
But I can talk to anybody. I've spent my time in the House, so I have good relationship with people in the House of Representatives. I spent 8 years down there, and most of the people I spent, like Beth Kratula, are still there.
Stedman says his powerful position as co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee prevents the rail belt from controlling too much of the state budget.
A lot of the boys in the rail belt would like to have their ability to, you know, have a chokehold on the Treasury all the time, in particular years of surplus. But by having guys from rural Alaska in those positions, we have a much more thorough process and fairer distribution of the state's financial wealth.
Both will pass through Tuesday's primary and head to November's general ballot. And come January, only one will be reporting for work in Juneau. This is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
Two Arkansas teenagers will go to prison for the 2011 death of a 19-year-old Juneau man. Kevin Thornton, a 2010 Thunder Mountain High School graduate, was visiting in the South late last July when he fell victim to assault. He died of his injuries a week later. Upon his death, three teenage boys were charged as adults with second-degree murder. Two of the youth entered negotiated guilty pleas Wednesday to the charges in Malvern, Arkansas. The third teen pleaded guilty to a reduced charge of aggravated assault and was placed on probation. Judge Ed Kuhn sentenced Richard Shelby Wybark and Timothy Tyler Norwood, both 18, to a term of 20 years each in state prison. Kuhn sentenced 17-year-old Clinton LaVon Ross to 5 years of supervised probation. At the time of the incident, Wybark was 17, Norwood and Ross were 16. According to court documents, Norwood struck Thornton one time and knocked him to the ground unconscious. Wybark repeatedly kicked Thornton in the head and face and then dragged him into a roadside ditch. Ross did not strike Thornton, but chased a second victim who was uninjured. Prosecutor Eddie Easley.
It was just a senseless act of violence done to a young man that had never been in any trouble, nor did he do anything to provoke this violence. They just picked him out at random. Our plea today, our only hope is for the family. We know they're grieving. They've cooperated with us greatly. They're good people. We hope that what happened today will bring them some type of closure and maybe just a little peace.
Darlene Thornton, Kevin's mother, addressed the three teens during Wednesday's sentencing hearing. In a prepared statement, Mrs. Thornton told the teens they had taken away the life of her son, the future they had looked forward to, and had robbed Kevin's sister of the brother she loved so much.
Kevin's death has been devastating to our whole family. It has hit us all emotionally, financially, and some of us physically. Only time will justice truly be served.
The maximum sentence Wybark and Norwood would face was 30 years. Under current sentencing guidelines, they must serve half their 20-year sentences before they will be eligible for parole. They can also earn credit for good behavior and for time they've been waiting in jail awaiting trial. And that's all for Raven News. If you missed our stories or would like to hear them again, visit us online, kcaw.org.